The Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer because the servant doesn't know what the master's doing, but I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Who's got the clicker?
Thank you, Bob.
In times of stress, in times when people feel threatened, it is human nature, I suppose, to try to find safety by seeking out other people like ourselves. People who look like us, people who think like us, people who live like us, as a way of protecting ourselves from this perceived threat. All of this becomes very evident in times of war, where one of the first tasks becomes clearly identifying who we are and who those others are. And we see how this gets played out in the work of propaganda. If you look at a survey of wartime propaganda posters, one of the things that becomes evident very quickly is that those posters having to do with who we are end up showing someone who is the paradigm of humanity, a man in his full manhood, or a woman in her full womanhood. And they are inviting you to join them. But when it comes to showing the others, the ones who aren't part of this group, we show them as something less than human, giving them bestial features, exaggerated features. Of course, in wartime, it just becomes more evident, but it's behavior that goes on all of the time. Like I said, I think it's human nature. If we have a boss who is giving us a tough time, she stops being a woman and becomes the B word. If we have a friend who has turned on us, he stops being
a man and becomes a snake in the grass. It's funny how many of our pejorative terms become animalistic. He's a rat. She's mousy. I'm going to crush him like a bug. We need to stamp out this infestation. All as a way of establishing who is us and who is them. And every society has had a way of doing this. In Jesus' times, the tribe of Israel had a word to describe who they were. And that word was Laos, the people. We are the people, the only people. And those other ones out there, they are the ethnos, from which we get our word ethnic. They are those others, those foreigners, those outsiders, those who are not the people. And the sign of the difference between the two was that indelible sign of the covenant, circumcision. The Laos were the circumcised, the ethnos were the Gentiles, the uncircumcised. And much of Israel's history played out in trying to keep these boundaries clear so that God's people could be defined over and against the rest of the nations. In today's reading, our first reading, we hear the story of Peter coming to the household of Cornelius. And it's unfortunate that our lectionary only lays before us the very end of the story. It's a story that has been unfolding for a while by the time we are brought in. Cornelius is an ethnos, a Roman. And he's had a vision in which an angel of God came down to him and said, "There is a man named Peter in the area. Go find him and invite him to come to your house. You need to hear what he's going to say." But meanwhile, Peter has also had a vision in which he looked up and saw, perhaps you might remember this, coming out of the sky, a blanket let down by four corners, in which was all manner of foods. The only problem was they were all food that Peter, as a good Laos, couldn't eat. One of the ways in which those boundaries were kept clear were by the laws of purity. What they could and couldn't do, what they could and couldn't eat, what they could and couldn't come into contact with. And in this blanket was all this great food that he couldn't eat. It's like being a vegetarian and having a blanket of Big Macs let down before you. But Peter says, "Lord, I can't eat from this. I'm not allowed." God said, "Okay," pulled it back up. But then a moment later, it comes back down again. "Peter, aren't you hungry? Eat." But again, Peter says, "Lord, I am one of your Laos. I cannot eat any of these things. They are unclean to me." And God says, "Anything I have called clean is clean. And so Peter, having just had this vision, mulling it over in his mind, suddenly gets a messenger from Cornelius asking him to come and speak at his household. So behind the scenes, God has been doing this work of diplomacy, preparing Peter and Cornelius for this moment. And now they come together. And the very first thing that Peter says to Cornelius is, you know, I'm not supposed to be talking to you. You know, it's illegal for me, a Laos, to be talking to you, an ethnos. It just isn't done. And yet, here Peter is. And the people who come with Peter, it's interesting that they are not described as fellow Christians or even fellow Jews. Rather, they are described as the circumcised, that obvious sign of the Laos. So here's Peter. He's come to Cornelius' house. Well, all right, God, you sent me here. He opens his mouth to speak. And what comes out of his mouth in Greek is rhamata. It just means words. And if you read the account of what Peter said, it is just words. If you want to hear an uninspiring witness, read that account. It's basically Peter saying, well, there was this guy named Jesus, and he died. And then he got up again. And now we're apostles. He's talking words, but the story says before he even finishes, these ethnos hear not rhamata, but logos. They hear the gospel. And when they hear that gospel, they begin to give praise to God and to speak in tongues. Things that should sound familiar. Because just a few chapters earlier in Acts, the same things had happened to the apostles. When they had been gathered in that upper room, the Spirit descended upon them, and giving thanks to God and speaking to tongues, they went out and proclaimed the gospel, and the ethnos were converted. But the word of the Lord is a two-edged sword. And you got to be careful wherever it is proclaimed, because strange things will happen. And here in this meeting now, in a strange bookend to the events of Pentecost, the gospel is once more proclaimed. The Spirit descends. Only this time it is the ethnos who give thanks to God and start speaking in tongues, and it is the apostles who are converted. Converted to the idea that maybe the kingdom of God is a little bit larger than they thought it was. Maybe God's idea of who the Laos are is a little broader than they thought. Maybe you don't get enough in the news or in the gossip or whatever. If you want to see evil in this world, look to the divisions. Look at the boundaries. Look at where we draw those distinctions between us and them. Look at the language that we use. And the manner in which we take away each other's humanity. They are no longer people. Those are gang members. Those are rapists. Look to language that describes people in terms of black and white, good guys and bad guys. Where the bad guys become expendable and the good guys become righteous. In all of these places, the boundary between laos and ethnos gets set up, and that work of dehumanization allows us to do the devil's work of violence and destruction and division. All the readings that we heard today seem to revolve around this theme of love. And Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep your commandments. I'm sorry, you will keep my commandments. And we like, thank you, and we like to think, well, let's go back and list them all. What has Jesus told us to do? It's funny, I can only remember one straight up commandment that Jesus gave his disciples, which was to love each other. Indeed, Jesus then went back and pulled in all of the commandments of the Old Testament, those ones we like to go back and start requiring people to keep, and said about them that love is the keeping of the law and the prophets. Love each other. Love God, and you will have fulfilled all my commandments. And it is this love that steamrolls over all of these divisions. All of these distinctions that we would use to keep others at bay. This love is what goes out and keeps pulling people in. The good shepherd pulling in his one flock. The vine having branches grafted onto it. The kingdom of God that begins as a mustard seed and becomes the greatest of shrubs that goes down into the earth to die and becomes the life of the world. And this is good news for us. Because looking around, funny thing is, I don't see a single laos. Not one of us were one of God's original chosen people. But we are these ethnos who unexpectedly, unaccountably have received God's Spirit, have given thanks to God, and now join in that joyful work of sharing that inclusion, that generosity, that compassion with those around us. And in doing so, we discover that we are no longer ethnos, but one of that great, ever-expanding laos that is God's kingdom, God's people, God's intent for all of creation. Amen.